This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. I sit across from me is John, and to my right is Travis.
Well, we're excited to be with you guys today. I'm kind of excited because Christmas is coming. It's getting closer, and I don't know. I just love it. We're getting a little bit of snow. It's kind of cool. So I was thinking about, we've talked about, you know, different songs and hymns and all that stuff, but we haven't talked about our favorite Christmas characters yet. Do you guys have a Christmas character that's your favorite from a movie or story or book or anything like that?
I think the snowman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is my favorite character. I just like his voice.
Burl Ives.
Burl Ives,
oh, yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I think I have a lot. I really like Christmas movies, so it's hard for me to pick. But recently, somebody, I saw something on Facebook or something, and I related to it that the older I get, and I am a dad, I have kids, the older I get, the more I relate to the dad in Christmas Vacation.
Ah, yes.
You know, I was like,
Clark Griswold.
Yeah, just the, you know, he's a sentimental guy. He's trying to, you know. Yeah,
he put in
just
a swimming pool this year.
Yeah, that's right. You know, trying to meet everybody's
hope
expectations.
The bonus comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, mine has got to be from that same movie, and it's Cousin Eddie. Mm-hmm. And I just love Cousin Eddie because he's totally out of place. He's just not couth. He does some crazy things, and he's got so many good one-liners in that movie. And that's probably one of my favorites, if I'm honest about it. But one of the cool things is we look at the story of Christmas and the nativity setting in and of itself. There's some characters that remind me a lot of Cousin Eddie in that. I mean, you've got Mary and Joseph. Jesus is obviously the star, but Mary and Joseph were pretty important in getting him into the manger scene there. And then we talked about the three wise men, and those guys are royalty. It would be kind of expected as you think about the Christmas story that you would have some type of royalty, some wealthy guys that bring some awesome Christmas presents too. And then the character that I'm thinking about that's a little out of place are the shepherds. I mean, we see them come into the scene on the night of the birth, and we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 for that today. But these guys are, as you talk about shepherds, they're not super like high on the totem pole as far as society goes. They do not have wonderful jobs or careers, and they're actually kind of stuck in it as kind of a family affair. And if your dad was a shepherd, his dad was a shepherd, so you're going to be a shepherd. Mm-hmm. So the way this whole thing plays out is pretty impressive to me. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. It says starting in verse 8, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified." That's a pretty incredible scene, as it kind of paints the picture there.
Well, yeah, they're out in the dark, man. I don't like the dark as it is. Like, and they're outside sleeping under the stars, kind of the first cowboys of the world. And yeah, and then something alien-like shows up. Of course you're going to be terrified. That's like kind of a, in my sense, my sensibility is a no-brainer. You're going to be scared.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's always interesting to me. I feel like we talked about this a while back, but whenever angels show up in the Bible, people are freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I always imagine like what a crazy scene that must have been that those guys experienced, and you know.
Well, they have nothing to even compare. It's not right. Like they're going, oh, it's somebody doing some type of light show. They yeah. have nothing. There is right. nothing there that explains this. And they're also probably the babies of the family. Mm-hmm. All through the scripture, if you look at it, the shepherds, you know, yeah. they're always the baby. They're
the
like
lowly shepherds.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, get out there. It's your turn to get, you know, it's the junk job of the family. And all of Israel, most of them had sheep, or yep. they have this great heritage. You can track through the scriptures of people having sheep and having big herds of sheep. And I think Job, I think it's in there, it's like 14,000 sheep or yeah, something.
He had a lot of sheep.
He had a lot of sheep. but you had to have people to care for them and watch them. Otherwise, they get gobbled up at night.
Well, and the sheep were important, too, to the whole Jewish scene there, because the sheep were what had to bring be brought to the temple to sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And, you know, Passover, that was a big time for sheep sales for those guys too. And I mean, you look at the history of shepherds throughout the scripture. I think one of the first mentions of them is back in Genesis chapter 46, if I remember off the top of my head. But it says that even the shepherds are like an abomination. They're detestable to the Egyptians. So way back in that front end of history, the shepherds are looked down as lowly, not good. I mean, they're not bad guys, but their profession is like not looked up on fondly. So you got these guys that hang out with sheep in the wilderness. They sleep in the dirt. We know that sheep
sheep are
a lot.
Stinky, man. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to a sheep farm, but they any farm. Stink. Well, yeah. But I don't know. I have these pictures in my mind, or I had before I saw a real sheep farm, of these like cute little white fluffy animals. They're nasty. Mm-hmm. Very rarely do I see a sheep that I'm like, oh, I would like to cuddle up with that. No, they're kind of nasty.
Nobody was growing up going, oh, I just hope I could be a shepherd. I just wish. No parent was going, oh, my kid could just be a shepherd. That would be awesome. But they did. I believe this is historically true. They are the first ones that understood coffee and its properties. And
that is amazing in and of itself.
Yeah, maybe they even did the first cappuccino. I don't even know. Like milk the it's not a goat, so I don't know if you can do that. Milk the sheep.
I was wondering if sheep could produce milk too, but
well, of course they can. They're mammals. They can,
but I mean, like, nobody's like making sheep cheese. Well, anyway, we digress.
Sheep cheese.
So the verse goes on, the shepherds are terrified. The angel tells them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Then it goes on to say, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And I think, you're already freaked out, and then the guys that are freaking you out are like, do not be afraid. You know, I just can't even imagine to be in that setting at that point. You're out in the middle of nowhere. It's dark. We're hanging out by the fire, maybe. You're trying to probably sleep in shifts to be protecting the sheep from predators.
Yeah, your
wolves
slingshot's not. You know, I wonder if they flung just a couple
one
shots.
Of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. There is what I find interesting in that passage is the people who should be there are actually there in that. The angels are there and the hosts are there, and host means army. Mm-hmm. And there's like, they have been waiting for this for a long time, this Messiah. Yeah. They don't totally understand it. They don't understand what Jesus is going to do. And they look at grace, the Bible says, and they kind of go, what is this? But this idea that God's plan is unfolding as messengers of God, they're just excited about it. And this is a party in heaven that spills out into earth, and it spills out in the shepherd. It spills out to the shepherds.
Yeah.
And that's the funny part about, that's why these guys are like the cousin Eddies of the Christmas story, because we expect the angels to be there. They're up in heaven. They've got this glory that's shining all around them. They're the messengers directly from the Lord. And yet they talk to the shepherds. Yeah. And these guys, like we said, are outcasts. You know, we all know we've got a cousin Eddie in our family. Like, you can think of somebody, and if you're trying to think of somebody in your family right now and you can't, you just might be that cousin
Hello,
Eddie.
Hello, cousin Eddie.
But so the angels show up, the shepherds are terrified, and the glory of the Lord is showing around them and all this stuff. And I think when we take this concept of fear and just kind of think about it, this idea of do not fear, do not be afraid appears a ton of times in scripture.
Yeah.
Something like 365 times. And God has to remind people over and over not to fear. And I just wonder why he has to do that. I think, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that there, any time that you have a moment with God and there is just an amount of it startles you. And so this being that is other than you, mind you, angels are created, but they're above us. There's more power to them. And of course you're going to be, and again, you're out in the middle of, you haven't seen this before. It's not something that is part of our natural physical world. It's part of the spiritual world coming in and intersecting. Heaven intersects with earth in that moment. And so I think any type of thing like that, where it's that supernatural, if you will. It's outside of creation of this physical world. I think that it's gonna freak you out a little bit.
And I think with fear, I mean, if you just think naturally our body's response to it, there's the fight, flight, I always add in the third one, or freeze. Like, that's your natural tendency. If somebody's breaking into your house, you're going to fight, you're going to run, or you're just going to sit there paralyzed and panic, right?
Tinkle? That could be a fourth one.
But I think God continues to remind us of those things, because there is such thing as a healthy fear of the Lord. And scripture talks about having this healthy fear. And that fear is really more of a reverence or an awe. And we see, like, there's some healthy fear that the shepherds have here. They're terrified, they're afraid. But then the angels tell them this message that there's been a Savior born. This is good news for all people on whom his favor rests. And I think that that type of fear can be a healthy fear to motivate you. Like, it perks their interest up. They want to go and see the Savior that has been born.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting that it comes to the shepherds. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And there is almost this, well, I don't think it's almost, I think it is. There's this foreshadowing of he comes to the shepherds. They're lowly in society. They're kind of downcast, looked down upon, scorned. And that's the same thing Israel does to the Good Shepherd, who is Jesus. And I think there's just that beautiful picture that is knit together in Scripture, that you can see that how important that these shepherds are to these sheep, and how important the Good Shepherd is to his sheep, who we are if we've said yes to Jesus.
Yeah, and so these guys don't just sit frozen in their fear. I don't know if they completely overcome it, but they head on out and they go and do. This fear causes them to motivate themselves, or they're motivated by it to go and see this newborn king. And I think for us, like, it can be, you know, if God's calling us to something, something can be scary sometimes when God calls us to that, you know. Or I think of a lot of guys that you hear the funny stories about. They have a midlife crisis and all that stuff. You know, you feel stuck, you feel whatever. I'm sure the shepherds had maybe a hint of fear or some reservation, like, this is their plot in life. There's no real movement up out of it. They can't exactly go back to shepherd school and get a master's degree in herding and advance their career or anything like that.
I think they were probably pretty smart, though.
Sure.
In shepherd ways, because they're also, they're physicians for the sheep.
Right.
And which is also another connection point to Jesus. Yeah. They're taking care of the sheep in the physical realm. And Jesus in the scripture is called the great physician. Mm-hmm. And he takes care of the sin issue that we have. And he heals us in that. And so there's another, like, providing that happens with the shepherd for the sheep, but it's also a connection point, I think, again, to the Good Shepherd.
And one of my favorite passages from Scripture about this idea of God as shepherd is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along right paths for his namesake. And then we all know the rest of it. It goes, I walk on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But I love that passage because it shows that even if something's scary, that if God's with you, if he's brought you to that place, he's going to see you through it. And it doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to take away that fear and everything's going to be perfect, but he is perfect and he is good and he will be with you. And you can find peace and comfort in that, knowing that you're walking with the Good Shepherd.
Well, yeah, like the sheep, they have to trust their shepherd. You know, the Bible again says that the sheep know their kind of shepherd's name. And Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice and it will respond to it in the same way. Because he is the Good Shepherd, because we trust him, because we've placed our faith in him. The same thing that the dumb sheep in the field, they do the same thing with their shepherd, because they know that their best interest is at stake for that through that shepherd in the same way we know that Jesus has our best interest, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. I will fear no evil. Why am I not fearing no evil? Because the good shepherd's with me. Because mm-hmm. the good shepherd is walking and he is leading. He is creating the path. He's bringing me to where the green pastures that I can go to and walk with him. But in the midst of all of that, that it is a little bit, you know, there is a little bit of skittishness, just like a sheep. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done a sheep drive before, I've done a couple. And they're kind of crazy and kind of wild, but they want to follow. They want to follow someone. And they get in trouble when they stop following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, so, go ahead.
Well, one of the things, you know, in the Christmas story and throughout Scripture that I always connect with is the over and over how God shows that he sees things differently than we do, you know, and this connection to shepherds makes me think back to David, you know, King David, but before he was chosen, well, when at the time that he was chosen, you know, it talks about Samuel going and he knows he's supposed to go to David's family and he looks for all the strongest older brothers in the family and nope, not him. Nope, not him. And it goes all the way down to the youngest. Who his dad didn't even bring him out because he was a shepherd, you know, like we said earlier. And Samuel says, no, the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. The world looks at outward appearances. The Lord looks at the heart. And this is kind of connecting back to who God is, the character of God. And so this picture of the angels coming to the shepherds, you know, it's another way for God to say, one, my ways are not your ways, and two, I'm here, I'm sending my son to rescue all people. And a sign of this is we're going to announce this to the shepherds. You wouldn't expect it. And then you fast forward in Jesus' life as he grows older, and he just continues that theme, flipping over what the expectations were. And, you know, there's this idea that we talk about sometimes in theology of the upside down kingdom, you know, that Jesus came and flipped the idea of what a good king and a kingdom was all about.
Yeah, and he comes down and he writes the shepherds into his story. And we see this over and over in Scripture of Jesus or God showing up into somebody's life. They make that a testament to faith to follow him, mm-hmm. and their story becomes part of God's story, and we all know that makes a great story. Mm. So the passage continues on, Luke chapter 2:13. Suddenly the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And so the shepherds are there. God's glory is all around them. And what do? They start praising God. And I think that's amazing. You know, it's this idea of like God's glory comes down. The response is praise to go up, worship to go up, because we see his goodness. When you see a glimpse of God's goodness, I mean, I can't help but think that our natural response should go towards like, God, that's awesome. You're so good.
The other thing that they do in that story, though, is that their response is first, what you're saying is there's this awe moment, this worship moment, this, man, I'm joining the dance floor with the angels at this point. And, you know,
picture in square dance, no.
Well, I was thinking,
get the cowboy shepherds.
Yeah. What was the song, right? Like, was it like hymn like, or was it like rap like? Like, what genre was it? I don't know. But I think what's also interesting is later on that passage that this will be assigned to you,
mm-hmm.
that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Yeah. And they give them this sign, and their response is to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The response is to go. And that's the point of Christmas.
Yeah.
The point of Christmas is that God came and we can experience him in a real way in our lives. And they go, and their response is that they find Christ. And that's the point of Christmas, is to find Christ, is to know Christ, to walk with Christ, to become his Talmidim, to become his disciple, and to walk in line with him. And I think the other thing that is really fascinating about that passage is what they do after that. They go and tell everyone.
Yeah.
They go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ was born. And maybe that's the song they were singing.
I always picture the shepherds when I hear that song. It's their song in my mind. You know?
I think it might be. I don't know. But they go and tell people about this experience because it's not just the angels. They found the Christ. They found the Messiah. They found the long-awaited anointed one that was promised to Israel, that God is faithful, that God did what he said he was going to do, and he sent this Messiah.
Yeah, and it's amazing that how often the natural response of people in Scripture and in, you know, in our time even, I've seen people who come to know Christ, and no one needs to tell them to go tell others. It's just, this is such a, you know, significant, valuable, important, you know, all the words. I got to go tell somebody about this. It's a natural response that they have. It's amazing.
I think it also brings us back to if you followed Jesus for a long time.
Yeah.
Christmas can become pretty ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never meant to be ordinary. It's always meant to be extraordinary.
Yeah.
Because the God of the universe took on flesh to become our Savior, to be the one who would be the perfect Lamb, to be sacrificed for us on a cross, to die on that cross, to be put into the grave, and then rise and defeat death 3 days later. If you don't have Christmas, you don't have Easter, you don't have salvation, it isn't really good news for all people. And so it's incredible news, and it is the Christmas story is a reminder of who God is and how he went about this and what it cost him to do this. Those sheep that were in that field, I was reading one scholar who was talking about they were connected to, they're probably temple sheep. And which is so fascinating. These are the ones that were sacrificed. These were the scapegoats. These were the ones that were put in on the altar. And Jesus is born right in the midst of that. And he's born as the good shepherd, the perfect Lamb of God for you and I. And that is good news for all people.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope that you guys enjoyed our episode of Pearls and Swine. And if you want to catch up on any of our previous episodes or you've got any questions or anything like that, you can email me, travis@evangelup.org, and you can search out to hear our latest podcast on your device. Just look for Evangel Houghton there, and you can catch all the Pearls and Swine episodes that you could ever want. Hope you guys have a great day. Take care.